dependent entirely upon the help of the Lord, I would seek again your attention to the Gospel as recorded by John, chapter 14 and verse 26. The 14th chapter of John's Gospel and the 26th verse. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. We said this morning that this blessed promised Comforter was in answer to the prayers of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And we read, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. We spoke of those things in which those dear ones that are taught of grace, blessed with grace, have that other nature, that new nature of grace working within them. Their soul is now alive after spiritual things. They are found in this blessed school, the school of Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the teacher. And we spoke of some of those things, which he shall teach you all things. We spoke of the teaching of the Holy Spirit as far as prayer was concerned, and how that the leading of the Spirit is needed constantly, lest we just go through the form of words, and it is nothing more than duty and letter. But we said that the pathways in which the dear people of God walk are sometimes sanctified to this end, that it brings them into the exercise of real prayer. He shall teach you all things. Now, we finished this morning, I believe, in speaking of the coming to the realization of the necessity of Jesus Christ. Now, in the chapter we read, we read in the 15th chapter of the Comforter, and it says this: he shall testify of me. Now, a soul that is born again of the Holy Spirit and brought under the conviction of the Holy Spirit concerning their own state and condition by nature and as a sinner before a holy and a heart-searching God, will be brought in their depths of need and concern and burden to see a necessity in redemption, to see a necessity in Jesus Christ. My friends, he'll teach you all things about yourself. Can ever God dwell here is not an unfamiliar expression. And the more the light of the Holy Spirit shines upon our evil heart, our natural heart and spirit, that is, that fallen condition we are by nature, my friends, the greater the need shall come for the knowledge or the necessity of what God has provided in Christ Jesus. He shall teach you all things. And he teaches everyone by the Spirit the necessity of redemption, the necessity of what is provided for in Jesus Christ for poor, lost and ruined sinners. And they shall be brought to ask for it. They shall be brought to pray for it. They shall see by faith the necessity of it, and their cry shall be for the application of it, the knowledge of it. I was thinking in the interval, there used to be a dear old pastor at Staplehurst some years ago when I was somewhat younger that had these words. He used to say, revelation and application. And my friends, that's what the Spirit of God will do for his dear people. First, the revelation. First, the knowledge of what there is in Jesus Christ for sinners. And my friends, that you'll have revealed to you by faith, not so much as you read about it, but as it will be revealed through the Word by the Holy Spirit to your poor needy soul. And Christ is revealed as the way of salvation. And I believe that every grace-taught soul will be brought to seek for that remedy, seek for that blessing. It may be revealed, but it may also be some time before the Blessed Spirit is pleased to apply the promises and apply the truths of Christ and apply the blessings that flow through Jesus Christ to his church. But he'll teach you the need of them. He shall teach you all things. He'll bring you hungry before he satisfies that hunger. He'll bring you poor before he makes you rich. He'll bring you into soul darkness before the Son of Righteousness shall arise. He'll bring you ready to perish before life is imparted in the soul. He shall teach you all things. It's a certain work. And we said this morning about the exercise of prayer by sanctifying and blessing the pathway and the circumstances and your own soul's condition, so will you pray, and not any other way. But he'll also teach you how to pray for these necessities. My friends, what was in the heart of the dying thief upon the cross? What was different between the two? Grace was the difference. Grace in the heart, that inward work. They were both convicted. They were both under condemnation for their sins. But my friends, there was a sovereign difference between one and the other, wasn't there? One said, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And I would suppose, and we must obviously believe what is obvious there, that having a desire to be saved, he would have carried on sinning. But my friends, the other one was under grace, and the other one was under the teaching of the Spirit. He was under a special gracious revelation, you say. My friends, he was being brought along, as all the dear people of God are brought along. Ah, but what pathway was he brought? The old pathway. First to acknowledge that what he was in was his just reward for what he had done. We indeed justly, he said, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. And then to Christ he said, but this man. My friends, what had the Holy Spirit done for him? It brought him to the place of revelation. It brought him to the place where he was to ask for the blessing. Christ was not just a malefactor to him, as he was to the high priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the unbelieving Jews. Christ was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it put in his heart this blessed Spirit of truth, this Comforter. He put in his heart to pray for what? To pray for heaven. My friends, when you come to pray, and I hear, and I would totally agree with the friends and brethren who pray in public as well as in private, the Lord prepare us for what? Indeed, for our ends, the Lord prepare us for heaven. And my friends, that's the Holy Spirit's teaching. Now that man wanted to be prepared for glory, and his eyes were to Christ, was Christward, and his desire was Christward. And so the Spirit taught him to pray for what his soul desired, what it was revealed to him. My friends, it was this: he wanted heaven. Not for him to carry on living in this world of sin and woe. Not for him to go back amongst his sinful associates and sinful pathway. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What he wanted was Christ, and what he wanted was heaven. What he was praying for was to be delivered from the body of this death and this sinful life. He was a pardoned sinner. Say you, it doesn't say so in the Word of God. Yes, it does. My friends, have you ever known an unpardoned sinner wanting to go to heaven? Have you ever found an unregenerate soul who wanted to go to heaven to be with Christ? He was blood washed. He was cleansed. He had an interest in the atonement. He saw the perfection of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and he knew he was the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he wanted to be with him. My friends, he'll teach you all things. He'll teach you the necessity of Jesus Christ's suffering. And he'll lay a concern in your soul how you stand for eternity. Blessed Spirit, glorious Spirit. My friends, religion's no religion if it's not has not the author or the authority of the Holy Spirit in it. I believe, I hope I could say this, that when I began to search and to seek, I came into this hymn. You've heard it said before perhaps, but forgive me. But we used to sing 938 at Hanover in those days quite a lot. But the Lord wrote those words in my heart. When thou, my righteous judge, shall come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand. My friends, that's the work of the Spirit. In my unregenerate day, we used to say within ourselves, what, again, we've got to sing that hymn? Isn't there something better to sing? But my friends, there's nothing better for a seeking soul to seek assurance. And in the time that the Holy Spirit teaches his dear people, he'll seek, he'll work in their hearts a need of assurance. To know my Jesus crucified, I quoted this morning, by far excels all things beside. He shall teach you all things. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And he'll bring you to this too. No satisfaction without it. No settling short, my friends. Not content with head knowledge. Not content with coming and going into the house of the Lord. Not content with fleshly prayers and supplications. Oh no. The Spirit will teach you reality and religion. He'll teach you the importance and indeed the necessity of this redemption. He'll teach you all things. But he'll teach you this, the sufficiency of the sacrifice. The sufficiency. When I believe the Lord forgave me of my iniquities, I was brought into deep, deep, dark soul trouble. Oh, it made me mourn and plead. I remember on one occasion, one particular occasion, it was like a knife in my very heart. And I walked about one particular day in my life as if I was under sentence. Well, I was under sentence of death. Death was in me, all about me. I felt it. And I deserved it all. And it brought me to plead like a man who pleads for his life. And I remember the day, it was a Monday. I was travelling home and I quoted this morning those words of the hymn, of the psalmist, where he says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? The Lord wrote those words in my heart on the way home from work one Monday night. And I said in my heart, not out loud, because there were people sitting in the same vehicles I was in, but I said within my heart, Lord, I wouldn't stand. Oh, I was condemned by his holy law. I was condemned by my own sins and iniquities. I was utterly ruined by sin. But then the Lord spoke in the midst of all this darkness. And this was the word that he dropped in. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Faithful, faithful to his beloved Son. Just, my friends, he's the justifier of all them that believe. Oh, the heart goes out after Christ then, you know. And there's something very precious about the sacrifice, because it's the sufficiency of that sacrifice that brought peace and pardon and forgiveness to the church. Because on that blessed day when Christ was crucified, a prophecy was fulfilled. And the prophecy was this, that in that day there shall be a fountain open for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. And if you know what it is to need that, you'll know what it is to have it revealed to you, and it will be revealed in the preaching, it will be revealed in the reading, and it will be revealed by the Holy Spirit. But then it's the application of it. And what does John go on to say? John the Apostle, as he wrote his epistle, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He shall teach you all things." My friends, there's no heaven without that. There's no peace, nor pardon, nor heaven at last either. And the Spirit of God, whose it is, shall testify of me, Jesus said. He'll testify, he'll teach you. First the need, then the knowledge, then the revelation. My friends, you hear week in, week out of the precious blood of Jesus. You know all about it. I used to have an old pastor, in blessed remembrance of that dear man who's gone to heaven now the last 3.5 years. But he used to say this, "You know about it. You've heard about it all your life. It's been preached to you." My friends, what do you know about it personally? What do you know about it as it's applied? He used to say this, "You've heard about Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard from him?" He used to ask questions like that, personal questions. My friends, do you know these truths? Is he teaching you? Are you in this school that the church is in? The school of Christ, and the Holy Spirit's the teacher. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." He'll teach you to need that precious blood. And he'll teach you this, the suitability, sufficiency of that to cleanse us from all sin. And it's cleansed the church. But it's the seekers, the grace-taught souls, it's the souls now alive by the work of grace in their soul that are seeking for the blessing and will not be satisfied without the blessing. Well, now that dear man who was crucified next to Christ saw and knew the blessing and is now in glory with Christ, which is far better. He shall teach you all things. But then, in contrast to the state and condition of those in unregeneracy, or when you were in unregeneracy, has he taught you a little of this sinful world in which we live? Has he taught you, has he made the world now a wilderness? The Holy Spirit will, you know. The world will have the world and love the world and will be content with the world, and all they want is more of the world. Not so, God's dear people. If your soul is in health, it's not this wilderness that you'll want. It's to know that you're going to glory. And the longer you live in this wilderness, you'll know this, that there's nothing growing good in a wilderness, you know, for a living soul. We must pass through this wilderness. It's where we shall be taught of the Spirit, but it's where we shall be prepared for glory. He shall teach you all things. And he'll teach you this, there's nothing good for your soul in this world. And you'll not grow an inch spiritually. And neither will you grow in knowledge spiritually by the things of time and sense. Not at all. The Lord blesses providences to us. We stand in need of them daily. And we constantly thank him for his faithfulness in providence. But this is not our rest, it's polluted. And the Lord's people will be taught this. And their heart and affection will be after better things than this world can provide. things which are laid up for them in glory, for which they shall hunger for and thirst for, which they shall desire for. And my friends, when the Lord shines a light upon this wilderness, you'll see what it really is, a place of sinfulness and pollution and evil. And it's nothing more than desolation to your soul. He shall teach you all things. And he'll bring you to this, to seek for those eternal benefits, those blessings which are laid up. Paul the Apostle, writing one of his letters, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places through Christ Jesus." All spiritual blessings. And if you trace it in that epistle, he comes to this inheritance. That which is yet to be walked in, that which is yet to be understood, that which is yet to be enjoyed by the people of God. He shall teach you all things. And he'll teach you this. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." My friends, what is provided for God's people, for their eternal comfort, for their eternal peace? He'll teach you. It's laid up in glory. It's not in this world. "Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." But then, he'll teach you this, my friends, and that is something, somewhat, of the love of Jesus Christ. That glorious grace that was found in the heart of Christ, that is found in the heart of the Trinity. The Father loved a people before they were ever born. And these people that were loved were given to Jesus Christ. And we read in our reading this day of that love. And it's a great love, my friends. It's a wonderful love. "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." And when you think, you know, you must, when you're brought to consider the purposes of grace and the purposes of redemption and the blessings which flow from the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit, my friends, what is the motive of it all? God will have a people in glory at last. There's a people that is redeemed by Jesus' blood. There's a people that shall be in time taught of the Spirit, prepared for glory, taken home to glory, to joy and rejoice eternally in Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit in heaven. But there is a foundation for every blessing for the people of God, and that foundation is love. Do you know something of the sweet love of Christ, the precious love of the Father? The work of the Holy Spirit is this. When we read together, "He shall testify of me, he shall teach you of his love." The poet says, "Mine is an unchanging love, higher than the heights above, deeper than the depths beneath, full and faithful, strong as death." My friends, who amongst us know anything of this precious gift of love? The love of Christ is rich and free, fixed on his own, eternally. Do you know something about that? John wrote in his epistle of the love that was in the heart of the people of God to Christ. We love him. Why do we love him? Because he first loved us. Love in the heart of God's people is the fruit of Christ's love in the heart. But there's something else about this precious love. "He shall teach you these things, teach you all things. And he'll teach you about his love. It will be revealed, it will be shown. You'll bask under the sunshine of it. You'll be in the presence of that love. And it will soften the hardest heart, break the hardest spirit. And it brings into submission to his mind and will." My friends, We often hear this said. I suppose there is some element in truth in how some people describe these things. Some talk about being drawn to the throne of grace. Others speak about being driven. Or sometimes circumstances sanctified will drive us to the throne of grace. But I don't believe this, my friends, that the Lord uses these driving things so much as he uses his love. I believe when the Lord's people are softened by his love, then they'll follow him whithersoever he goeth. I remember one occasion when the Lord altered my pathway, brought me to see that it was his will not to do what was set before me to do. And he closed a door, and he opened another one. And what made me comply with it? His love. My friends, that's how he softens the hearts of rebellious sinners. That's what brings compliance to his will, you know. When he softens the heart with love. Oh, I never forgot that occasion. And oh, the sweetness and preciousness of that day. I could have gone anywhere and done anything for the Lord Jesus Christ with the love that flowed in my heart and flowed out of it. How precious he was, my friends. He will be when his love is felt in the heart. But it's an unchanging love. You read the closing verses of the 8th of Romans, which we referred to this morning. And Paul says to the Romans, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Who can separate it? My friends, love was the cause, was the foundation blessing why he ever came here. Love was the cause why there shall be a people that though ruined by the Adam fall shall be saved to sin no more and brought to glory. Love was the cause of it. But my friends, when the love of Christ flows in the heart, and it does flow in the heart, and as Paul said, the love of Christ constrains us. Oh, how it makes the child of grace willing in the day of his power. My friends, there's no blessed, more motivating way of working in a sinner's heart when the love of Christ works in that heart. Oh, it brings very sweet memories, you know, to God's people. I was just thinking then of a hymn that I was brought to know the preciousness of. I remember on that particular occasion I referred to, I had to drive to work under the influence of that blessing. And I wept all the way to work, and I sang all the way to work, and I sang this. Compared with Christ, in all beside no comeliness I see, the one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. And in that hymn, you know, you've got this verse. Loved of my God, for him again with love intense I'd burn. Chosen of thee ere time began, I choose thee in return. Whate'er consists not with thy love, O teach me to resign. I'm rich to all the intents of bliss, if thou, O God, art mine. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, that last part of this text, he shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Well, what has he said, my friends? What has he said personally to you? You know, one of the great sorrows of the Lord's people, and some of those dear older friends too will understand what I'm about to say, is that as time goes on, there is sometimes the losing of the sweetness of these blessings. One would speak about those times of one's first love when the Lord did shine in the heart, and he was very near and very dear to us, and those seasons of blessing when he was bringing us along and helping us along through the trials and troubles of revealed sin, And those days of blessing were sweet and precious in the recollection of them. But you know, the longer you stay in this wilderness and the older you get, there is this complaint sometimes that although one can remember these the Lord's dealings with our soul, we lose sight of the sweetness of it. We can't gain the sweetness as we used to know. Well, the Holy Spirit, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Is it not so, child of grace? Has you not known those seasons when you may have been in his house, or you may be in the night seasons awake, thinking about your soul and about perhaps the trials of the way? He's able to bring to your remembrance, to resurrect. And that's not too strong a word, you know, to resurrect some of those past seasons of blessing. There's a returning to them for a moment as you are brought by grace and faith into those pathways that you have previously walked and times of blessing that you have previously walked. I thought sometimes the dear people of God come into the place where David was found. David, in the end of one of his psalms, asked for a token. Asked for a token that they may... What did he want a token for? What was the sorrows? What was the troubles? My friends, the troubles was he got many enemies. Show me a token for good, that those that hate me may be ashamed. What did he want? What did the dear psalmist want? What does the Lord's dear people want as they wend their weary way through this wilderness? Well, another visit, another token, another evidence, a sweet bringing to the mind of those past blessings in which they've enjoyed, of which they've sat under, those seasons of blessing in their trials and troubles. They want the renewing. My friends, do you feel this? Some of you can look back on many years of the teaching of the Holy Ghost. And those sweet seasons of blessing in your soul. But you would say before the Lord in all the honesty of your heart, oh, to feel like I felt then. Oh, to realize what I realized then. Oh, the sweetness of those times. When he was first revealed to me, or when he was a help, when he showed himself in the affliction or the trouble or the trial, and which at that time I was passing through. But he does, you know. Oh, he does. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. My friends, you know, there's sometimes that it comes in times of deep trial, and especially the trial of faith. Perhaps you're walking in a path where Peter remembers in the first chapter of the first of Peter, he says this, though now for a season, if needs be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now what is it that will bring a dear soul out of those times of darkness? When the Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance. What does the psalmist say in the 119th psalm? Remember the word on which thou hast caused me to hope. My friends, have you stood on the promise that he's spoken? Have you pleaded it? We read this morning Jacob's promise at the prayer meeting, and I will be with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, and will not leave thee till I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. But it wasn't so long, you know, in the years of Jacob's life, when he had to take that promise and lay it before the Lord. He had to ask the Lord to remember it. And thou saidst, he said to the Lord. Well now, isn't that so, child of grace? Have you dragged these promises out? Or as it may well be, the Lord's dear servant has brought it out. It may well be in your experience you've sat under the word and under the preaching, and the day came when through the Spirit support and help to the Lord's dear servant that he has resurrected a promise. And it's been your comfort and your joy. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, we must also look at the context of these words, because the Lord Jesus was about to go to Calvary. He was to go to Gethsemane, to the judgment hall, and to Calvary. Their faith in Jesus Christ was to be tried. They were to see him suffer and bleed and die. And my friends, they were to see the loss of one whom they loved, whom they'd been with these 3 years or so, attendant upon his ministry, witnessing upon the gospel that he preached, upon the miracles that he had done. Now, there is to be a time of remembrance. If you had a time of remembrance, he shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I tried to speak last Wednesday from the words of Samuel, where he set up a stone between Mizpah and Shen and said, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us, Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Now, my friends, what about it? When was the last time you was able to set up a stone? When was the last time you could raise your Ebenezer? What does the poet says? "Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to save my soul from danger interposed his precious blood." Well, now some of you can trace those dealings, and you're brought into that place when you can indeed call the stone Ebenezer and say, "Hitherto." Now there's to be some remembrance. There's going to be some season of recollection in for your soul into the things of God, the things which the Lord has brought you in. My friends, there is, and it's profitable sometimes. I was thinking of also, it's profitable for the trials of the way. In the psalmist's own words, he was brought into a very dark place, evidently. Now, what was his comfort? In the 61st Psalm, the psalmist speaks of this: "From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer." But what was his comfort? Well, it was brought to his remembrance. "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." Thou hast been. That's the past. That's the past. Has ever trouble yet befall, and he refused to hear thy call? And has he not his promise passed that thou shalt overcome at last? Hasn't he? My friends, there's a bringing to remembrance, and it's the Holy Spirit's work to do that. The darkness of the path, you not see the promises. The trials of the way, you might escape the sight of them. The anxieties of the moment, you'll lose sight of all the things the Lord has done. What of dear John the Baptist? What of dear John the Baptist? If you know that experience, people criticise, you know, these pathways because they never been in them, they never understood them. And I've had to plead the pathway of John the Baptist many a time in trying to speak the word of truth. Prophesied of old time that he should be the forerunner of Christ. Took Jesus Christ in Jordan's river and baptized him. Saw the witness of the Spirit descend like a dove. Heard a voice from glory saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." What a wonderful, gracious experience did John the Baptist have till they put him in prison. And then he sent two disciples to Christ. "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" And what was the answer? Well, the professors would say, well, fancy that. A man like him, surely not. He must have made a mistake. Not so the Lord and Saviour. Go show John again these things. Is that what you pray for when you come up to the Lord's house? Is that what you ask for when you lay awake at night and think back over the days of experience, the seasons of blessing, when the Lord lays affliction upon you, when you are made solemnly aware that time is running out? You look at your age and you look at your afflictions and you look back over the life that you've led and been led and brought, and you see that time is rapidly running out. But on what comfort can you face eternity? And on what confidence can you stand in the hour and article of death? My friends, on two things you can stand: what he's done and what he's revealed to you are two sure truths that you can stand on. And you say, well, I hope it was right. You hear the dear saints of God as they come down to the end. Oh, I hope it's right. And they do hope that all that's gone before was the work of the Spirit of God within them, and all that Christ has done, their interest in him. But this is the word: and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Blessed words, gracious words, words that were comfort to your soul, words that were deliverances. The things that you know of Jesus Christ, you know by revelation. All, whatever you know of Christ is what's been revealed by the Holy Spirit in your soul. You can read about him from Genesis to Revelation, but what you know of him personally is what's been revealed. And sometimes you lose sight, don't you? You come into those seasons when darkness descends and doubts appear and Satan troubles and tries you. And you'll wonder whether you've ever had any call. John the Baptist was there. Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? My friends, that's real experience. And real religion will stand the test of the tempter and stand the test of any of Satan's agents. And on what ground will it stand the test? My friends, because of this word, because of the Holy Spirit's work within, because of the revelation. And he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Do you know the day of resurrection? I'm speaking spiritually, of course. When those things that you thought were dead and buried were raised from the grave of darkness and distress into your soul. Oh, it's the work of the Spirit of God. Will bring all things to your remembrance. You'll trace the dealings of the Lord. You go back in your pathway and you'll say, it must be true. It must be true. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and will and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. I looked at those words of the apostle and the way he was taught. We must consider sometimes that the dear apostles of old, how they were personally and simply taught. You know, those things which we take for granted, how that the Lord has taught them, and he's taught them personally and themselves. And he's shown them not by books, but by revelation. And you know, some of us once a month sit round the Lord's table. Now, what does it begin with? For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. And in the 15th chapter of the same epistle, he speaks then of this: for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Those things that were taught him, brought to his remembrance, in the experience, sweet things, precious things, things of Christ. But we must close, the time's gone. There seems to be such a depth in this, you know. but I must leave the word, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. But is there a person here that's under some sore temptation? You know, those who are constrained by love to speak before the church, they come into the experience of the psalmist where he says, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he hath done for my soul. And the moment that exercise is laid there, so the tempter begins to trouble them as to their remembrance. You won't remember this and you won't remember that. Rely on the Spirit, my friends. Look to the Spirit. He'll be your remembrancer and he'll be your comforter. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen.
By singing hymn number 1073, the tune is Evening Prayer 642. Hymn number 1073. Holy Ghost, dispel our sadness, pierce the clouds of nature's night. Come, thou source of joy and gladness, breathe thy life and spread thy light. Hymn number 1073.